Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
How good it is to be in the house of the Lord, and how wonderful it is that we get to go into the Word of God once again. For those of you that are brand new, we go line upon line, precept upon precept, and the Word of God. There's a reason for it. God wrote it that way. You ought to be able to understand it that way. I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say it 1,000 more times. I don't want to just minister to you the Word of God. I want to minister to you the character, nature, and attributes of God as well as the Word of God. Because you can get the Word of God, never get the character of God behind the Word or His attributes. And I want you to understand that God is saying something to us as we look at the Word of the Lord. And we don't just have to pick out a verse here and there and teach something, but we get the privileges of gather together to find out exactly what God is saying to us, keeping it all in context so that we can find out the very heartbeat of what God is saying and who He is. How great that is. As we look at the Word of the Lord today, we're going to a wonderful subject called sacrificial seeds of good. Sometimes we look at the word sacrificial seeds of good and we see that as a title. We don't know what it means. I want to take a few moments just to just elaborate on something. If you're going to plant a seed in your life of good, you're going to have to plant a seed that's going to cost you something. Planting seeds that didn't cost you anything usually don't get you anything back. And so calling this sacrificial seeds of good gives us insight on what he's saying in the Word of God as we go to the Word of God. Remember, we're in Galatians, the 6th chapter. This time we're going to verse number 10. It starts off with this fabulous little word called therefore. Remember, I told you before, and many times I've taught you, every time you come into the Word of God and you see the word therefore, it's there for a reason. It's there for the verses that were spoken before. In other words, God made a statement before, and now that He's made that statement, therefore, because of what I said, here's what I want you to do. It's a wonderful understanding. And the word therefore comes back and it says this, and let me read it for you. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those that are in the household of faith. So as God says therefore, we revert back, we think back, we rewind our thinking back to some of the other verses. Like Pastor Dan taught verse number 9. He did it such a great job as he was teaching on verse number 9. He says, don't be deceived. He says, God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, you shall reap. And the whatsoever means whatever it is you sow. Whether it be good, bad, indifferent, nothing, something, whatever it is you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap everlasting life. He goes on in the next verse, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to get nothing but results of the flesh. So whatever you put in, whatever seed that you're putting in life, you're going to get something back from it. The question is, what seed do you put in? The question for all of us is really the quality of the seed. What seed are we putting in? If we're going to get something back, if you got one life to live and you're going to plant something in your life, you want to get a return that's good. So, my goodness, what are we planting? And that's where the breakdown of understanding comes in. This is what we think. Many of us will say, I did good, I'm okay, I've done good, I fit. I didn't do anything wrong, I did right. And then we don't get the results that we expect and we get frustrated. Because we don't understand that when God says when you plant good, He's talking about God's good, not yours or mine. Amen. That we as a church have a different understanding of what's good. Our good's based on what our parents taught us. Our good's based on the society that we live in. Our good's based on our social system. Our good's based on what we know from existence. Our good is based on politicians or the economy telling us what's good, what isn't. And God has a different good than what society says. And I love what Pastor Deborah said. She said, if you keep on sowing and don't get weary, in due season you will reap. And when she made this statement, she says, you've got to understand that what you're sowing has got to be God's righteousness, God's ways, God's will, God's goodness. Not my goodness, not what our social system says is goodness, but what God says is goodness. And if you put in what God says, then all the difference in the world, you're going to get back what God says, the blessings of the Lord. In fact, a lot of us don't understand the principle. She went on to say these words. I want to rehearse it in your thinking just for a few moments. That righteousness or the goodness of God has got to be God's will, God's way. It cannot be God's will, your way. It cannot be God's will, my way. It cannot be God's will according to what society says. It's got to be God's will carried out God's way. And she gave us a brilliant illustration, if you remember Cain and Abel. They both did the will of God. They both brought a sacrifice to God. Are you listening? They both brought the sacrifice to God. They both did the will of God. One brought it, Abel, according to what God said, God's way. But Cain brought it his own way. Cain's offering was unacceptable. But Abel's offering was acceptable to God. God's will, God's way. You can't even get saved your way. You have to get saved, and it's the will of God that every man but say get saved. You got to get saved, not your way, not my way, not some well-meaning church committee's way, but God's way. And you'll look at all the scriptures. You'll find there's all kinds of people in scripture. They will do the will of God, but they do it their way. And then they wonder why they don't get the results that they desire. In fact, for an example, let's just take the children of Israel. They've been in captivity for 400 years. You remember the movie? You saw it. Moses leads them out of the Egyptian bondage and crosses the Red Sea. When they get to the other side, Moses goes to the top of the mountain. While they're waiting for Moses, they get bored. They don't know what to do. They say these words, "Let's worship the God that brought us out from under the bondage of the Egyptians." They didn't know how to do it. Now, it's the right thing to do is to worship God. So what do? They gather all the gold together and they turn God into a calf, a golden calf. God gets so excited, gets so angry, so frustrated with them. He's just livid. And he tells Moses, make them grind up the golden calf and eat it. What did they do? They did the right thing, worship the God that delivered them from Egypt. They did it the wrong way. Even our worship can be the wrong way. And that's what we do when we come into the house of God. We learn. Stop and think about it. New Testament, for an example, Ananias and Sapphira, they all gather together. They're going to sell everything they have. They're going to have everything in common. They're going to bring it into the house of God. It is the will of God for the starting of the church. It's the will of God. But they did the will of God, but they did it their way, and they held back something, and it cost them their lives. Acts, the 5th chapter. Stop and think about it. Here's Paul the apostle. He is passionate. His name is Saul of Tarsus. He's the head of the synagogue at Tarsus. He's not yet Paul the apostle yet. He doesn't know Jesus yet. But he is passionate for God. That's the right thing to be. He's excited about God. He wants God. He's fervent for God. He's zeroed in for God. Guess what? But he has taken his passion out on the church, and he does the will of God, which is to be passion, but he does it the wrong way in destroying the church. God meets him on the road to Damascus and blinds his eyes, and Ananias has to come and lay hands on him to get him to see again. Why? Because he was doing the will of God the wrong way. And it hasn't stopped in American churches today. We want the results, but we do to get the results, we do the will of God the wrong way. We do it our way, and it doesn't work, and we're learning how to do it the way God would have us to learn. And that's why when you plant a seed, whatever it is you plant, whatever it is, good, bad, indifferent, the seed that you plant has got to be that which is of God. If it's not of God, then guess where it comes from? It comes from you. It comes from your ideologies. It comes from your philosophy. And the only thing you're going to expect is what returns to you instead of doing what you need to do. Listen, we live in a society that what we plant, we reap. When we, anything, whatever it is, man, you overeat, you get fat. You eat too many French fries, you get zits. We all were constantly in a place where we're doing something, putting something in, getting the wrong stuff back out. Now the question is, are you going to continue the rest of your life putting in the wrong thing, expecting God to come through and look the other way? May I say this to you? It doesn't work that way. There comes a time in your walk with God that God expects you to grow up. May I say this to you? In the beginning, I find that God answers a lot of prayers that He doesn't answer later on. You know why? Because He wants us to grow up. He wants us to get to a place where we're going to move into the maturity that He's called us to and not stay into some baby relationship with Him. So we're going to have to learn how to do things, our marriages, our kids, our finances, our dreams, our vision, our destiny, our future. We're going to have to learn how to do the will of God, the way of God, in order to get the results of God that we all desperately want. In my time with the Lord, God gave me some interesting things to share with you. One of them is this: reasons for sacrificial seeds of God's goodness. I know that's long, but I want to look at some reasons for sacrificial seeds. You're going to plant something that's going to cost you something. A sacrificial seed of God's goodness, because whatever it is that you plant, and there's got to be a reason behind it. I find that people don't do things unless they understand the reasoning. When I was a little boy, my mom said to me, she gave me a pair of shoes, she said, tie your shoes. She taught me how to tie my shoes. Many times I'd leave the house without my shoes being tied, and my shoes would fall off, or I'd stumble over the shoelaces. Anybody remember that? Eventually, I learned there was a reason why you tie the shoes. It kept the shoe on the foot, and it kept you from stumbling. When people know the reasons why they should do something, for an example, planting a sacrificial seed of good wherever it is that you're at, with whomever it is, then I find that people do it. Yeah. So today I want to cover some reasons for sacrificial seeds of God's goodness. Why do we want to do this? Here's the reason number one. Are you ready? Yeah. It pleases God. How simple is that? When all of a sudden we have an opportunity to please God. Did you know that most people that call themselves Christians say, I want God to please me. I want God to answer my prayers. God loves me. God cares for me. God will look the other way when I screw up, mess up. God doesn't matter. You know, God just takes care of me. It's all about God pleasing them. But there needs to be a time when all of us come under our relationship with God where we're out to really please Him. I never grew into any sort of maturity until I got a position in my heart that I wanted to please God. Didn't care what I did. Didn't care what it felt like. Didn't care what I thought. Didn't care what I think about. Didn't care about my past training. If this is what God wants me to do, I'll do it because it's pleasing to God. Now stop and think about it. The God of the universe that created the heavens and the earth, that speaks, and planets and solar systems exist. The one that holds the sun at its right distance so we don't burn up. The one who holds the moon at its right axis so water doesn't flood the land. The one that holds the atmosphere around the planet so you and I right at this very moment can breathe. That same God can be pleased by you instead of Him just pleasing us all the time. We now could live out our lives wanting to be pleasing to Him. When I learned that, it just took everything from me. And all of a sudden, I started to live a life instead of being selfish. Oh, God, I want this. God's some big slot machine in the sky that I can pray for, or I can put money in, pull the handle. Hopefully, the right numbers line up, and God will pour His blessings on me. Listen, this is not about God being a slot machine in the sky. This is about God being creator of the heavens and the earth, respected enough that we, if we have an opportunity to do something like to please Him, we ought to please Him. Wow, how exciting that is, that you can live your life pleasing to God. And it all comes with sacrificial seeds being planted of His righteousness. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 16, you ought to turn there in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you ought to get it. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse number 16, says these words, just popping up on the overhead for those that don't have a Bible. But do not forget. How many times do we forget things? We're always warned by God not to forget stuff. You know why? Because we blow by things all the time. Something we experienced before in the past, we have to stop and consider what God did for us just a few months ago. We forgot already. We're always forgetting something. God says don't forget. Do good and share. The word share means give. God's looking for a people to be givers in every area of their life. When I do good and I give, let me tell you something. Now he comes along and he says, for such sacrifices, listen to this, he calls it a sacrifice. It's going to cost me something to do good and give. I don't want to do good, I want to receive. I don't want to do good, I want to be blessed. I don't want to do good, I want someone to do good for me. And all of a sudden, God says it's a sacrifice. It's not about what someone can do for you. It's about what you can do for them. And when it's not about what they can do for you, and it becomes what you can do for them, now it's a sacrifice. God is well pleased. I love those words. Isn't that neat to think that you and I, people of this planet, made from the dust of the ground, can be pleasing to Almighty God. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. Where there's pleasure from God, there's His presence. And where there's His presence, there's His power. And where there's His power, there's His blessings. And it starts with the word pleasing. I need to be. I want to be. I desire to be in every area of my life. You got out of bed this morning, made the choice to come to church. Did you know that was pleasing? It was sacrificial. You said to yourself, man, I'm going because God's worthy to go. And all of a sudden now God's speaking to you. Can you imagine that? You said, well, God could speak to me in my bed, but He doesn't. Why? Because He's not pleased with you laying in the bed. He's pleased when you get up and do something sacrificial that you didn't want to do and get into a place where you can give and can receive and can go for God. Is anybody listening? We're talking about reasons for sacrificial seeds of God's goodness. Therefore, whenever we have opportunity, the verse said in Galatians the 6th chapter. And I love this. Can I just pop up Galatians the 6th chapter? Therefore, whenever we have opportunity, the word opportunity means opportunity. When do you not have opportunity? Some people say, wait a minute, you know, I can't have opportunity. I have opportunity when people appreciate me. I have opportunity when people I know I'll give to them if they give back to me. No, opportunity comes when people don't give back to you and people don't appreciate. That's when you give of God. Let us do good to how many people? All. So here we're finding out reasons, and I love this. Reasons for sacrificial seeds to be of God's goodness. Here's number two. It proves faith. Yeah. A lot of times we don't realize, we say we have faith. Oh yes, I trust God. But don't you trust God with what you need to give? And do the goodness of God? Well, I trust God as long as I don't have to do the goodness of God. I trust God as long as I don't have to do any works. I trust God as long as I don't have to give. The problem with that is that's not faith. Faith in God says I trust God no matter what. I don't have trust in the stuff that I'm giving. And it proves faith. So many times people come to church and say, well, I'm a believer. I got a bumper sticker on my car. I got a belt buckle that says in Him. I wear a t-shirt that says Jesus is Lord. May I say something? That's all great and wonderful, and you need to do that. But you also need to put to action. If you really have faith, God's calling you to do something. And God's calling you to sacrifice those sacrificial seeds of God's goodness that makes a difference in someone else's life. Let me say this to you. Not because they appreciate it. Not because you can afford it. But nevertheless, you do it because it's the will of God and you're doing it the way God would have you to do it. And that's why James comes along. Turn to your Bible in James the 2nd chapter. In James the 2nd chapter, verse number 17, makes it very clear. Let me read it to you. It says this, thus also faith, verse number 17, by itself it does not have works, is dead. In other words, the faith you have that has no action is dead faith. But then he comes along, verse number 18, he makes a simple statement. Listen to this. But someone will say, I have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. In other words, let me tell you something. You don't get saved by your works. That doesn't prove you're saved. You get saved by grace through faith. You can't get saved by works. You get saved by grace through faith. But I'm saying this to you. The very proof of your faith is the fact that you can get in and do something good for somebody without getting something back. Just because it's, number one, pleasing to God. Number two, this is how you prove you're really saved. Is anybody listening? I love this. People that don't do anything, I wonder about them. People that don't give anything. People that don't ever try to have sacrificial giving. Is they really have faith in God, or do they have faith in the stuff that's in their pocket, or faith in what they do? I don't know. God's the judge. But we're talking about a wonderful subject. The subject is reasons for sacrificial seeds of God's goodness. Here's number three. It ministers to Jesus. Number one, it pleases God. Number two, it proves your faith. But did you ever think about when the fact that you plant sacrificial seeds of God's goodness, what it does is it literally ministers to God? I mean, we're always waiting for God to minister to us. God sends the Holy Spirit to minister to us. In fact, we want to be people that are ministers of God. But did we ever think that we could minister to God? There's a difference between being a minister of God and a minister to God. And when I plant sacrificial seeds of God's goodness, guess what? I now become a minister to God. Can you imagine you and I can become ministers to God? Not only just to please Him, not only just to prove our faith, but actually to minister to Him. Wow, how exciting is that? For every one of us that are in here, there's a ministry waiting for us. To minister, not just to each other. We could do that all the time. And that's what he's talking about. Remember, he says, especially to those of the household of faith. And to minister to all good things, to all people. Plant the right seeds, God's goodness in. But then he comes along and makes this statement here. He says, but when you do it, ministers to God. In fact, it tells us that in Matthew, the 25th chapter. Go there with me. In Matthew, the 25th chapter, listen to what it says. Is anybody listening?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Matthew, 25th chapter, starting verse number 36. Listen to what it says. It says these words. Jesus is speaking. A lot of times people don't understand that. Here he's saying, making these statements. Verse number 35, in fact, let's go there. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. And I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. And I was a stranger, and you took me in. And I was naked, and you clothed me. And I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And when the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you and thirsty and give you drink? Verse number 38. And when did we see you a stranger and take you in or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Verse number 40 says this, listen. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these least of these my brethren, you did it to me. All of a sudden, you become a minister to Jesus. Not just always waiting for Jesus to minister to you. All by doing what? Sacrificial seeds of God's goodness. Wow. Number one, it pleases God. Number two, we found out it proves our faith. Number three, it ministers to God. Can I give you reason number four for sacrificial seeds of God's goodness?
Yes.
Here's number four. I didn't hear you. Did you say you wanted to hear it or not?
Yes.
Number four. Here's number four. I love this. Brings personal blessing. Personal blessings and benefits. I don't know about you, but I need personal blessings. I need God to meet my needs. I need God to open doors no man can open and close doors no man can close. I need God to make a way where there is no way. I need God to lead me out of the wilderness into the promised land. I need to go through the valley of the shadow of death, coming out on the other side. That's what God does well. And He does that when you and I plant sacrificial seeds of God's goodness on this planet. And we need His blessings. If you're one of those people in here and you're saying to yourself, Pastor Jim, I don't need the blessings of God. Give them to me. I'll take your blessings. I'll take all I get. Because the more I get, the more blessing I can be. That's what this is all about. Listen, guys, there's reasons why we do what we do. It brings the blessings of the Lord. Not too long ago, I was talking to a group of pastors, and I was telling them about our food distribution center. Our food distribution center ministers, gives out the groceries, not just say a meal. Listen to me. Groceries, somewhere between 600 and a million people every year. Bags of groceries. You know, our 18-wheel trucks pull in here, and we have loading docks in the food distribution center where food comes in. We distribute it to people. Many of those people, it's what they need. We're actually keeping our city from being angry and frustrated by feeding people. I remember talking to a group of pastors, and one of them asked a question, that many people come to your church? I said, no, they don't come to our church. They don't come to our church. I said, we feed them anyway, unconditionally, uncompromised. If they just come and get the groceries, they can have them. We want them to come to church, but they don't come. Then I remember one pastor said, I wouldn't feed them unless they come. Can I tell you something? May I say this to you? I want people to come for Jesus. I don't want them to come for food. They'll come for the food, but I want them to learn to come for Jesus. Are you listening to me? And plus, the love of God is unconditional. And I said to them something that was fascinating, because I had a real hard time with this in the beginning. I was real frustrated over it. I would say, God, we're feeding so many people. They don't come. They don't care. They're not here for us. They don't give a flip about us. They don't even know that this comes from us. They just show up, take and leave, and throw their trash all over the place. I'm really frustrated. They don't come to church. And God spoke to me. You know what He said? I come. Two words. I come. And I was just blown away, because even though the people don't show up, because of the goodness of God, the benefit of God, the personal blessing of God, God shows up. Listen to me. Let me give you an illustration of that right before your very eyes. Last service, last Sunday morning, as preaching, gave an altar call as I always do. Could hardly get anybody to come forward. Six or seven people in a room about this size came forward. Thank God I got six or seven. I'm ready to quit. Go greet you at the back door. And then as six or seven people walked out, God said, you're not finished. See, He's in His house. He says, there's a dozen more. I said, God, I could hardly get the six. How come there's a dozen? He says, there's a dozen more. I could only believe for a dozen. And the second altar call, 24. He doubled it. Came forward. Wait a minute, hold on. That's the presence of God. He shows up. Listen to me. I'm finished. Done good. I'm everybody's hero in the room. I'm so cool. I was having a hard time not kissing myself. And then God speaks to me again. There's more. And I said, Lord, you got to be kidding. Three altar calls. They came up, doubled the size that I called out, because I only had faith for a little bit. He doubled it. They left. I'm figuring this is it. Ooh, I'm up on the top of the ladder now. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. God says, there's more. I'm going, oh no. Five altar calls later, every single one of them, exactly what God spoke came forth, flooded in front. People walked out. Now listen to what I'm going to say to you. You can have, and I thank God for tongues and interpretation, prophecy, all shows the Spirit of God. I thank God in the pulpits of America, there's great Bible teachers and preachers. But I'll tell you what, when His presence shows up and draws the people home into salvation, oh, I'm telling you, no man is drawn to the Lord except by His goodness. The Holy Spirit brings him. And what I'm saying to you is we may not have the people in those food lines coming to church, but God comes to church. And a lot of people don't understand that's one of the greatest moves of the Holy Spirit there could possibly be, is when God draws people home. Listen, I need the benefit. I need the personal blessing. This church needs the benefit. This church needs the personal blessing. Today, the Word of God says out of Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse number 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, didn't say when you have the resources, didn't say when people appreciate you, didn't say when you can do it and can't do it and it figures out and calculates in your checkbook, or you have the time, the inclination. Doesn't say, opportunity means, and when is there not an opportunity? Let us do good to all, not some, not just the ones that can benefit us back. Because it's not about just pleasing them. It's about pleasing God. It's about proving our faith. It's about ministering to Jesus, and it's about personal blessings to those who are the, especially to those that are the household of faith. We need each other. That's why we come into the house of God, that we can be encouraged. All week long, the world dumps their trash on you. And you come into the house of God, and God washes you clean. That's what this is all about. It's pleasing. Here's reason one. Can you imagine you have the opportunity to please God? Number two, you show off your faith. Number three, you minister to Jesus. Number four, it will bring personal blessings from God, not from the people, but from God. Keep your eyes on the source. His name is Jesus. If God spoke to you today, come on, give Him a great big praise the Lord.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.